Chapter 28. They left the pub, walking slowly through the town. Harry, Ron, and Hermione were technically looking for any clues, but Harry found himself wondering about what it would have been like to grow up in this quaint little village. It reminded him of Hogsmeade in some ways, despite it being inhabited by muggles as well as witches and wizards. He found it a little disconcerting to realize that he was recognized here. He received several cordial nods, many of them greeting him as Mr. Potter. Everyone was kind and respectful, though, and no one made an elaborate fuss over his appearance. Remus led them to an overgrown drive, sheltered by a wealth of trees, until they came out into a large, meadow-like area. Surrounded by trees on all sides, the property was indeed sheltered. The drive wound along the edge of the clearing, leading to what had obviously once been a house. Harry was surprised to see flowers growing in what must have been gardens of his mum's at one time. Aside from the unkempt lawns and gardens, the area was beautiful, and he couldn't help but notice that there was plenty of room to play Quidditch. The house itself was almost leveled, and destroyed the sense of peaceful tranquility of the property. Drawn to the house where he'd spent the first 15 months of his life, Harry slowly walked towards the ruins. He walked up onto the still intact front porch, but there was no door to enter. Some walls were still standing. A portion of a staircase was still in place. Mostly, it was just a pile of wood and stone. It was all wrong. Harry was abruptly jerked from his reveries when the air shimmered a little in front of him. Draco had lifted the cloak only enough to speak. "The mark's burning," he hissed. "I think he knows you're here." Harry didn't stop to question Draco. He'd felt the tingle of magic as he stepped onto the porch, but had dismissed it as old wards on the house. He whirled to face the others, who had respectfully kept their distance, instantly slipping into battle mode. "I think I triggered a ward that let Voldemort know I'm here," Harry said quickly. "Then we've got to get out of here," Ginny exclaimed. "No, it means what I want is here," Harry said sharply. "Harry, you don't know that," Hermione shouted anxiously. "You're right, I don't know that," Harry shouted back, "but I can't afford to risk it." "Disillusion them," Draco hissed close to Harry's ear. "Now!" Harry blinked once that registered, then issued the order to the others. While they cast the spells, Harry quickly penned a note to McGonagall, snagging parchment and pen from Hermione. "Possible attack at Godric's Hollow. Now!" He called for Fox and sent it. It wasn't a moment too soon as several loud cracks were heard and Death Eaters popped into the clearing. Harry's scar exploded with pain, and he knew that Voldemort had arrived with them. Harry was more sure than ever that a Horcrux was hidden here. Here, where Voldemort had killed his parents and tried to kill him. He managed to control his anger earlier, his mind taken up with mourning instead. Now, he could feel the white-hot rage settle over him as he took in the sight of Voldemort and at least 20 of his Death Eaters. He watched them glancing warily around the clearing, looking for him and anyone who might be with him. "Where is he?" someone shouted. "He's here," Voldemort said coldly. "I can feel him." Harry's heart was pounding. His head was throbbing agonizingly. He wasn't prepared to fight Voldemort yet. He only had to figure out how to get rid of him, keeping himself and his friends alive in the process. Indeed, that was all he had to do, he thought sarcastically. He wished he had an actual clue as to how to go about accomplishing that. His eyes darted about wildly, searching for anything that might help until the order could arrive. Suddenly, a bright shower of noisy fireworks went off behind the Death Eaters. Harry took the opportunity and quickly shot a couple of stunning spells at them, moving swiftly away afterwards. It appeared most of the others had done the same, and several of the Death Eaters had gone down, unprepared for the attack. "Harry Potter, I know you're here," Voldemort shouted furiously. Come out and show yourself! Tempted as Harry was, he remained silent, watching and waiting.
Aw, is poor Widow Potter too scared to fight like a man?
A voice mocked, and Harry's nostrils flared angrily.
Playing hide-and-seek like a child?
Quiet! Voldemort ordered Bellatrix. Potter, I refuse to play these games with you. Another loud barrage of fireworks went off, this time on either side of the group of Death Eaters. Harry and his friends shot off more stunning spells, and he quickly moved several feet away, so he wasn't giving away his location. Enough childish games, Voldemort said coldly. He swished his wand and their disillusionment charms were lifted. Harry darted his eyes about the clearing. They were all okay, but they were spaced out widely around the Death Eaters. Remus suddenly apparated. He appeared next to Ginny, grabbed her quickly, and they both reappeared beside Harry. The others followed suit, apparating to Harry's location. Voldemort had held up a hand to stay his Death Eaters and was laughing mockingly at Harry. "What a pathetic group of followers you have," he said. Harry glared at him defiantly, taking a step forward. He hoped all he had to do was stall Voldemort until the Order members, and hopefully Aurors, arrived. "I don't have followers. I have friends," he ground out. Voldemort laughed cruelly, as did most of the Death Eaters. "I would have thought you were old enough to know now that friends are useless. Power is what matters, Harry Potter." "I have power that you will never know of," Harry shouted recklessly. "You obviously know nothing about power," Voldemort said coolly. "You are a pathetic child, playing foolish games." Harry snorted derisively. "Games? I'm not the one playing follow the fucking leader like a blind idiot," he sneered, his gaze flicking to the Death Eaters, standing one step behind, on either side of Voldemort. The Death Eaters shifted restlessly, angry with Harry's taunt. Voldemort stilled them, once again simply lifting a hand in warning. His slitted red gaze narrowed as he glared at Harry. "Crucio!" Without warning, with a bare flick of Voldemort's wand, Harry's body exploded with pain. He screamed in agony. Fire was flowing through his veins, and his scar was a brand, searing itself through his skull. Then he was suddenly aware again, aware that he was lying on the ground and didn't want to be. He pulled his feet under him and crouched, not positive his legs would hold him yet, as he took stock of his surroundings. Squinting against the sunlight and pain, his eyes darted to either side of him. His friends were physically all right, but they all looked deathly afraid and appeared to be frozen in position. He wasn't sure if it was literal or not. Taking in the sound of the Death Eater's malicious laughter, his eyes flicked to them to notice all the wands trained steadily on his friends, preventing them from taking any action. He looked up into the red-eyed gaze of his tormentor and slowly stood, surprised that he was still in possession of his wand. Voldemort was simply toying with him. "Why are you here, Potter?" he demanded. Harry knew what Voldemort wanted to know, but he wasn't about to tell Voldemort that he knew about the Horcruxes. "This is my property," he shouted, his voice no less furious for its hoarseness. "You took it away from me once, and I'm here to take it back again. I will be 17 in 3 days and finally old enough to rightfully claim it." "You will not live to see the age of 17, Voldemort said, smiling nastily, seemingly satisfied with Harry's answer. "You're wrong," Harry shouted, glaring in defiance. "I won't let you win."
"I am the master," Voldemort hissed. "I am the only one who could possibly win with the powers I hold."
Harry heard the others shifting behind him, and it took him a moment to realize that Voldemort had shifted to Parseltongue instead of English. Harry's eyes narrowed dangerously.
"I told you just a minute ago," he hissed in Parseltongue himself. "I have powers you know nothing of. Kill me and you will never learn them."
He could see the flash of surprise in Voldemort's red eyes.
"I was informed correctly," he hissed. "You do have the power of the snake language."
Harry smirked viciously.
"Yes," he hissed. "Did you not believe it? You wished to believe you were the only one with power?"
He paused for a moment before continuing, deciding to take the risk.
"You will be the foolish one if you attempt to kill me again without learning the powers that I hold. I know the full prophecy that you do not. What other powers does the chosen one, Harry Potter, have?"
he taunted. Voldemort glared at him in silence, debating the truth of Harry's words. Harry concentrated on reinforcing his occlumency shields, having many secrets he wanted kept hidden. He wasn't worried, however, about Voldemort detecting a lie, because he'd told the truth. It was beside the point that Voldemort wouldn't consider Harry's powers worth learning. He only had to think they were worth learning. He felt Voldemort's probing presence at his mental shields as they continued to glare at each other, even as loud cracks could be heard throughout the area. Duels broke out immediately. Shields were erected and Voldemort was furious.
"I do not know how you called for help," Voldemort hissed. "But I will be back for you, Harry Potter."
Voldemort, and then his followers, apparated. As soon as they were gone, Harry fell to his knees, retching. Hands were there almost instantly to support him. He was grateful, since he likely would have fallen on his face, as he was attempting to clutch at his stomach and put pressure on his throbbing scar at the same time. When he'd finished emptying the contents of his stomach, he rested back on his heels, moaning miserably. Eyes closed, he heard someone cast a quick scourgify. Then Hermione was talking to him. "Harry, are you all right?" she asked urgently. She had a cool cloth, wiping his face soothingly. Harry still had a hand pressing against his scar, and she gently pried his hand away, replacing it with another cold cloth. "Harry, Remus has potions for you," she said. "I just need you to focus a little and drink them. Then you'll start feeling better." Harry obediently swallowed the contents of the vials when they were placed at his lips, carefully tilting his head back. He didn't want to move, and he still didn't want to open his eyes. The sunlight was already bright enough through closed eyelids. As the pain slowly receded, Harry began to focus on his surroundings again. He could hear a great deal of rustling fabric and murmuring. He opened his eyes, squinting against the sunlight. With a groan, he realized that he'd been sick in front of at least 50 people. "All right now, mate?" Ron asked worriedly, his face ashen and his freckles standing out in stark relief. "Yeah," Harry mumbled, pushing to his feet, and Ron helped haul him up and support him. Several people were there to talk to him, including McGonagall, Moody, Shacklebolt, and Tonks. "Mr. Potter, are you ready to explain exactly what happened here?" McGonagall asked. "Your group refuses to talk," Moody growled irritably. "Even Remus won't talk," Tonks said, sounding just as irritable. Harry was happy to see that her hair was at least still pink. He looked around at the group he'd come with. They looked severely shaken up, but they were all standing resolutely with Harry. Ron and Hermione were on either side of him. Ginny was standing between Fred and George on the other side of Ron, and Remus was standing on the other side of Hermione. He'd be willing to bet that Draco was close by as well. "Are you all right?" he asked them. "We're all fine, Harry," Remus emphasized. "Only a touch of shock." Harry nodded before taking a deep breath, mentally shifting his focus. He looked past McGonagall and those directly in front of him to the crowd of people who were watching him, anxiously waiting for news. "I need to thank everyone for coming so quickly," he said, loudly enough for everyone to hear. "Was that really you-know-who?" someone shouted. "Yes, that was Voldemort," Harry said grimly, listening to all the gasps and watched as many flinched. "He laid a trap for me. I triggered a ward that let him know I was here. As soon as I realized, I sent a message to Professor McGonagall. He explained how they disillusioned themselves and tried to keep Voldemort and the Death Eaters distracted. Someone asked, condescendingly, how fireworks could help against Death Eaters. Harry couldn't help thinking they'd obviously not witnessed that part of the battle in Hogsmeade. "Fred, George," Harry said calmly, "a demonstration, please." They quickly disillusioned each other. "On 30, George said. They deliberately began counting aloud. They counted aloud to 10, then silence reigned in the clearing as everyone waited. Harry smirked as he watched many of the Order members jump when simultaneous explosions went off on either side of the group. When he had everyone's attention again, he explained how they'd shot off stunners while the Death Eaters were distracted.
"You have rather unique methods, Potter,"
Shacklebolt said, sounding impressed. Harry nodded in acknowledgement of the compliment. "When you're dealing with Voldemort, you learn to improvise if you want to stay alive," he said. "Did you rehearse this kind of attack?" McGonagall asked, her brow furrowed. "No," Harry said, shaking his head. "We just work well together. We've all learned from Remus, and we've all done extra training together in the DA. We were only successful for so long, though, before Voldemort found us out." Ironically, Harry was fairly certain that Draco had been the one to actually set off the first set of fireworks, and it had also been Draco who warned him and suggested the disillusionment charms. Yet, he wouldn't get any of that credit. Harry described the events that had happened next, deliberately leaving out the part of the conversation conducted in Parseltongue. He explained how he'd only been trying to keep Voldemort talking until help arrived, as they weren't prepared to actually fight him.
"Well, it was the shortest battle I've been involved in," Tonks said brightly.
Harry smirked. "Voldemort laid this trap for me, and he didn't expect me to be able to call for help. Without all of you arriving, I would have been in serious trouble." He looked to McGonagall. "Professor, could I speak to you privately for a moment before everyone leaves?" He received a lot of frowns for his request, but he ignored them as he stepped away from everyone and erected a quick silencing charm around him and McGonagall. "What is it, Mr. Potter?" she asked, letting her concern show. "Voldemort will come back here, and I can't allow that to happen," he said quickly. "I don't want everyone knowing that this place is important, but I need protection wards placed. I'm hoping you can help with that. You'd know who could be trusted to help place the wards, and who would be best to do the work."
"What do you wish to tell everyone?" she questioned.
Harry shrugged. "The same story I gave Voldemort will work. I'm turning 17 in a few days, and I'm here to reclaim the property that's rightfully mine," he said. McGonagall's eyebrows rose.
"And that is not why you're here."
Harry shook his head, his expression solemn. "No, it's not, but it's extremely important that no one knows that," he said. "I just managed to bluff Voldemort, and I need to keep him in the dark as long as possible. The wards need to be up on this place now, because he will be back."
"Harry, I do hope you know what you're doing," she said.
Harry gave her a lopsided smile. "I've got a lot of support," he said, "so even when I don't know what I'm doing, someone else does." McGonagall chuckled.
"You do have a very loyal group behind you," she said.
"Which includes you," Harry said sincerely. She appeared startled for a moment, but then nodded in acknowledgement.
"I will gather the appropriate people and get started on the wards immediately," she said.
"Thank you," Harry said, before breaking the silencing charm. He watched as McGonagall took charge, dismissing all those she didn't need and requesting certain people stay and help. He was happy to note that he knew, personally, everyone that stayed. Remus went with them to help, and Harry approached his friends, who were now all sitting on the porch. He sat down with them, and breathed a sigh of relief when he felt Draco brush up against him. He erected a silencing charm around the porch to be on the safe side before anyone spoke.
"Bloody hell, mate!" Ron exploded, as soon as the spell was in place.
I thought watching you confront Lucius Malfoy was bad last year. That was nothing on this.
Hermione and Ginny nodded in agreement. Harry shrugged. I had to deal with Voldemort that night as well, he said quietly. This was nothing, really, compared to what happened then. We've gotten off fairly easy, all things considered.
This was easy, Ginny said faintly.
Yeah, Harry said, shrugging again. None of us were hurt. We didn't have to duel at all.
You were hurt today, Hermione said in disagreement.
Harry grimaced in disgust. It was just Cruciatus once, he muttered. I was humiliated in front of all of those people, though.
What happened exactly? Fred asked curiously.
You were fine, and then the second they were gone, you just collapsed, George said. I managed to hold it together while Voldemort was here, but as soon as the danger passed, Harry trailed off, shrugging. Draco's hand was trailing up and down his arm soothingly, but Harry wished that Draco didn't have to stay hidden.
I can't believe you talked to him like that, Ron said, sounding odd. You were bloody brilliant, mate.
I wasn't brilliant, Harry said flatly. I was just angry and trying to stall the bastard. Ginny snorted in amusement.
I was ready to wet myself because I was so terrified. Trust me, Harry, you were brilliant.
Harry smiled faintly. I wasn't the only one who helped stall him, he said. All of you helped.
Harry, how did you know that he would come? Hermione asked curiously.
He didn't want to answer that question, and felt bad because Draco wasn't getting the credit he deserved. I tripped a ward, he said flatly. I felt the tingle of magic when I came up on the steps. At first I didn't pay attention to it, but... He trailed off, letting them come to their own conclusions. Anyway, Voldemort's confirmed that I'm right, he said, changing the subject as he looked to the house. It's here somewhere.
What did he say in Parseltongue? Ron asked.
Harry smirked wickedly in satisfaction. Now that was brilliant, he said. Fucking master my arse. He told his friends about what he and Voldemort had said.
You didn't tell him the full prophecy? Hermione questioned in horror.
No, Harry scoffed. He knows that I know it now, though, and it scares him. I think I've bought myself some more time, because now he's worried about losing out on something important, and he's scared of what will happen to him if he tries to kill me. He doesn't want to end up like he did before. He doesn't really want to believe I have any great powers, but it's thrown him off a little because I can speak Parseltongue, he added.
You don't think, Ron said worriedly.
Harry shook his head. I don't think so. That's why I had to bluff with the prophecy. Better to tell him I know that than to tell him what else I know, he said.
We should be searching, Hermione said decisively.
Where? Ron asked, getting to his feet. It could be in plain sight, Harry said, getting up as well and looking around. I'm hoping that his wards were the protection.
Hermione looked thoughtful. He probably moved it here after Dumbledore's death, she said slowly, hoping to trap and kill you next.
Bringing it back here and then finally killing me would appeal to him, Harry said in agreement.
Could you tell us what we're looking for? Ginny asked. It would be helpful if we knew.
Harry exchanged glances with Ron and Hermione.
I don't know, Harry, Hermione said nervously.
What do you think, Ron? Harry asked. Ron shrugged. They're family. They're not going to say anything, he said.
Hermione nodded reluctantly in agreement. As long as we only tell them what we're looking for, she said.
Harry quickly described Hufflepuff's cup to the others and warned them not to touch it if they did find it. They split up and began carefully searching the ruins of the house. 2 hours later, Harry was miserably depressed, tired, aching everywhere, completely filthy, and no closer to finding the cup. Remus returned with McGonagall after sending everyone else away to inform him that protective wards had been placed all around the property.
They helped Harry perform the spells, and Harry became the new secret keeper. Even though Voldemort technically knew the location, he wouldn't be able to find it with the spell in place. After McGonagall left, Remus keyed the wards for Harry so that everyone who was currently there would be able to operate in and out of the property. They were the only ones who could access the place now. Harry was grimly satisfied that Voldemort had made such a huge mistake. Voldemort had surely expected to easily take Harry, now that Dumbledore was gone. Instead, Harry had turned the tables. Voldemort had seriously underestimated him. Unfortunately, he wasn't likely to do so again. He sat on the porch steps, rubbing his temples. "Here, Harry," Remus said, quietly offering Harry another one of the pain-relieving potions. Harry absently wondered how Draco managed to keep passing them to Remus, or if Remus had left Grimmauld Place with his own supply. "It doesn't look like it's here," Hermione said, sounding disgruntled and disappointed as she dropped down onto the porch. The others followed suit, all of them taking a break once the wards had been adjusted. "It has to be," Harry said crossly. "Why does it have to be in the house?" Ron asked. Harry and Hermione looked at him, blinking. "I reckon it doesn't have to be," Harry said slowly. "But it's how Voldemort works." "It's not a good strategy, though," Ron said. "Why hide something so important in rubble that could be cleared out?" "He's done it before," Harry said with a shrug, "at least from what Dumbledore said." "He expected to kill Harry today," Hermione said, frowning. "I don't think he expected anyone to be clearing out this rubble after all the time that it's been left alone."
"He likes cold, damp places, though, right?" Ron said. "So why wouldn't he hide it someplace like that well over there?" he added, pointing out the well on the far side of the house.
Harry hadn't noticed it before, but Ron was right. Harry was on his feet and already halfway there before he recognized that he was moving. Moments later, they all stood staring down into the darkness.
"You're going down there?" Ginny asked.
Harry snorted, glancing over at her. "Well, it doesn't look like I'll be sliding this time, as this goes straight down," he said. "I think Ron has a point, though. This looks gloomy, dark, and damp enough."
Ginny nodded, grimacing in disgust.
"Don't forget Slimy," she said. "So, how are we going down?" she asked.
"We're not," Ron snapped. "Harry and I are going down. You're staying up here this time."
"This time?" Fred asked, shaking his head in disbelief.
"You lot do this type of thing often, then?" George asked.
"Often enough," Harry said, grinning. "Ron and I have done this before," he said firmly. "Hermione, any ideas on how to get us down there?"
"Harry, don't you think I should finish that research first?" Hermione said hesitantly. "We haven't looked up all of them."
Harry frowned, exchanging a glance with Ron. Ron shrugged, leaving the decision up to Harry. Hermione continued, pushing her point.
"We have no idea what's down there. You know even better than I do what you could find," she said. "We haven't researched all the spells yet, and you'll still need to learn them. It doesn't make sense to go down there twice," she said in a reasonable tone.
"I need to know if it's there, though," Harry said. "Because if it's not, and I'm just wasting my time here, then I need to start looking somewhere else."
"This place is secure now," Hermione said insistently. "It's already been a long day. Everybody could use some rest. You especially."
"How am I supposed to rest if I wait?" Harry asked. "I have to do this, Hermione." Hermione scowled at him angrily before her gaze darted to the others. Harry slashed his wand, throwing up the silencing charm.
"Harry, your ability to speak Parseltongue and the fact that you already killed the basilisk were major protections," Hermione said. "You don't know what kind of protections he could have used for this. What if there's something like the Inferi down there?" she asked, her voice rising shrilly.
Harry hesitated, glancing down into the hole again. He really hadn't liked the Inferi much, he had to admit. "You don't think he'd use more of them, do you?" he asked. "I don't know, Harry," Hermione said, extremely distressed. "There's certainly water in a well, though, and they were in the water last time." "Well, I'll just have to risk it," Harry said decisively. "I have to know if it's here or not. Voldemort could have gotten suspicious by what happened today and tried to move it, if he did hide it at the orphanage or something." Hermione looked at him in resignation. "You'll take me with you?" she asked, tilting her chin up in determination. Harry glared at her. "Fine," he said. She smiled. "Then call Fox and he can carry us down," she said. "Of course," Harry exclaimed. He broke the silencing charm and called for the Phoenix. He got into another brief argument with Ginny and the twins, but Harry put his foot down, pointing out that Ron and Hermione knew why he was going. Harry was sure he'd be hearing it from Draco later as well. Remus didn't say much, but he was clearly concerned. Ron was the only one who looked halfway happy with him by the time he took hold of Fox's tail feathers and they disappeared into the well. They descended quickly into the darkness, Hermione clutching Harry tightly around the waist, Ron holding onto both of them, leaving Harry's hands free, one to hold onto Fox and one to hold his lip wand aloft. "Oh, I do hate flying," Hermione cried softly as they fell. They landed in knee-deep, icy cold water, and all three of them yelped at the shock. They could hear the echoing shouts from those at the top. "We're fine, just wet," Harry shouted, sounding disgruntled. Ron sniggered, and even Hermione smiled at Harry's description. "You're not overly fond of wet, are you, Harry?" Hermione teased. "Depends on the circumstances," Harry grumbled, smiling ruefully. He looked around them and added, "And these aren't good circumstances." "No, they aren't," Hermione agreed. "I don't know much about wells," Ron said, "but if you know who has been down here, shouldn't we be seeing more of something?" Harry looked around at the mossy, slimy stone walls that surrounded them. "Do you have a knife on you, Ron?" he asked absently, still studying the walls. "Yeah," Ron answered warily. "Charlie gave me one and told me to keep it on me if I was going to keep hanging around you," he admitted. Harry glanced over his shoulder at him, laughing as that caught his attention. "You'd think I'd start carrying my own knife, wouldn't you?" he said rhetorically. "Let me have it." "What are you planning on doing?" Hermione asked sharply, even as Ron retrieved his knife from his pocket and passed it to Harry. "I'm not as good at magic as Dumbledore was," Harry answered, slicing across the palm of his left hand. "Harry!" Hermione screeched loudly, attracting the attention of those up top again. Ron called up reassurances as Harry began running the palm of his bloody hand around the walls, splashing through the cold water. A little over halfway from where he'd started, there was a flash of silver before an opening appeared. Harry gave a whoop of triumph, grinning at his gobsmacked friends. "Well, that's one way to do things," Hermione said. Using her wand, she muttered an incantation that marked the area above the opening, so they'd be able to find it again. She then cleaned the surrounding walls of Harry's blood, not wanting to leave any traces of it behind. "It looks like another tunnel," Harry said, peering into the darkness. "How could there be a tunnel down here?" Ron asked. "That's certainly not part of any well." "Dumbledore created the tunnel from Hogwarts to the Shrieking Shack," Hermione said. "I don't see why Voldemort wouldn't be able to create a tunnel down here." With exchanged glances and lit wands, they headed into the tunnel. "I don't like it down here," Ron whispered. "There's that creepy mist stuff floating around." "Dementors," Hermione whispered back. She stopped, grabbing hold of Harry's arm to stop him as well. "Harry, I think Voldemort has Dementors guarding this Horcrux," she said urgently. "I don't like them," Harry admitted, "but we all know the Patronus charm." "Harry, you don't understand. If Dementors are down here, what are they feeding on? Hermione asked, her eyes wide and fearful. So we have extremely hungry soul-suckers down here, Ron said grimly. Harry and Hermione turned to Ron, blinking at him. What'd I say? Ron asked. Why would Voldemort use creatures that suck the soul out of people to protect part of his soul? Harry asked in return. It doesn't make sense, Hermione said plaintively. They do feed on the good parts, though, Harry said flatly. How much good do you really think is in that piece of Voldemort's soul? Probably not much, if any, Hermione admitted. But that still leaves us with what they are feeding on. They don't feed well off animals, Ron said. We know that from Sirius. They lapsed into silence for a couple of minutes. The only sounds, the dripping water. I think, Harry said slowly, they're not likely being fed. Desperate, they're more likely to overwhelm anyone who tries to get close. But you're going to try to get closer anyway, Hermione said flatly. I fought off 100 of the damn things once before, Harry said grimly. 3 of us can do the job. Hermione shut her eyes tightly for a moment, but then followed silently as Harry started moving forward again. The mist swirled thicker around them, the further along the tunnel they went. Harry could feel his thoughts turning darker and more depressing. Fighting the feeling of despair, he checked on his friends. It didn't help his mood to see the looks of desolation etched on their faces. Gritting his teeth, he splashed his way around another bend of the tunnel and stopped abruptly. Ron and Hermione ran into him, and he grunted as he tried to keep his footing. The slippery, mossy stones turned under his feet, and he went down with a splash, his friends landing on top of him. In an attempt to break his fall, Harry threw his hand out in front of him, automatically trying to keep his wand free. Instead of breaking his fall, he felt the wrenching pain as his wrist broke. Harry cried out, cracking his cheekbone against a rock jutting out of the shallow water. The physical pain was almost immediately swamped by emotional pain and icy coldness as the Dementors that had caused him to stop in the first place swooped closer. Flashes of green light, flashes of red light, his mother's screams, Voldemort cackling, Sirius falling, Cedric's lifeless body, swirling white fog, hissing, blood dripping, Dumbledore falling from the tower. Harry! You've gotta help! Harry became aware enough to realize Ron was holding him up, arm braced around Harry's chest. There's too many! Hermione shouted. Harry, you've got to cast your Patronus! Harry shook his head dazedly. Harry, snap out of it, mate! Harry shook his head again, focusing on his surroundings. A white otter was swimming through a sea of Dementors, while a white Jack Russell Terrier chased through them. Hermione and Ron managed to push the Dementors back, but they were beginning to surge forward again. Closing his eyes, Harry ignored the fact that Ron was still holding him up and tried to focus on an image of Draco, remembering the feeling of warmth, comfort, and safety of being in Draco's arms. Opening his eyes, Harry pointed his wand and shouted, "Expecto Patronum!" A white stag erupted from the end of Harry's wand, immediately charging forth. Breathing heavily and huddled together, the three watched as the stag, otter, and terrier ripped through the Dementors until nothing remained but a denser white fog. "Where'd they go?" Ron whispered hoarsely. "They can't die," Hermione whispered back. "They'll reform from the mist." "Then we should hurry," Harry said with grim determination. Hermione and Ron looked at him quickly. "Harry, you can't go on," Hermione protested. "You're hurt!" He ignored her and started walking forward, keeping his left arm cradled to his abdomen. He hadn't come this far to be stopped now. Ron and Hermione tried voicing a few more protests, but fell into step with Harry regardless, on either side of him, rather than behind him this time. They didn't really have to go much further when they came upon a large underground cavern. In the middle was a stone plinth, with a golden cup resting on top of it. Surrounding the plinth was a gleaming red dome of magic. "Gryffindor colors," Hermione breathed, "with Hufflepuff's cup."